Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, Zach Osmond here, IU Insider Indianapolis Star. It is Thursday, October 5th. It's a rainy Thursday in Bloomington. It feels like fall has finally graced us with its presence, whether we wanted it or not. And fall means basketball recruiting is very much on the front burner, and it is very much on the front burner at Indiana right now. The Hoosiers, of course, have zero commitments in the 2024 class, but they have about as many irons in the fire at the top end of that class as maybe any program in the country. And to talk to me about that is my good friend, ESPN, what do we call you, national recruiting analyst, national recruiting insider, guru?
I like insider. Let's go insider.
That's the dulcet baritone of Mr. Jeff Borzello from ESPN. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, man. Sorry it's raining by you. It's not raining here. It's beautiful and sunny and like 73 degrees here in New York.
Well, it's probably coming your way. You live.
It is, 100%.
So I want to start with, I guess, just the wider question of where Indiana is in the recruiting landscape. And we'll preface all of this, say this out at the front of the podcast. You got to close on kids. Even to be a finalist, that's great. But, you know, if you're always the bridesmaid, then it's ultimately not going to win you a lot of basketball games. I think everyone understands that. But one of the things that maybe was one of the concerns that was raised most pointedly when Mike Woodson was hired was basically, is he prepared for roster development, roster building at the college level when he's going to have to get out and recruit, when it's a different kind of system? And of course, we had all kinds of discussions about free agency and how it compares to the portal. But thinking about high school recruiting, you know, he'd never been in college. He was going to have to build kind of this reputation from, you know, not very much, at least at that level. What has set the stage, maybe both in terms of the stuff we can measure, you know, the top 50 recruits he's landed, what he's done with players like Jalen Hood-Schifino, Trace Jackson Davis, Malik Renew, whoever, and maybe the stuff that's a little bit more, I guess, vibes, for lack of a better term, that has maybe built a little bit of this feeling that Indiana can swim in a bigger pool in recruiting than it has in a little while.
I think the biggest thing he did was when he took over the job, he, you know, and it's been kind of demonstrated by his pursuit of five-star recruits consistently since he took over, is he decided that Indiana should be involved for five-star recruits. And that can backfire on new coaches. You know, there's been endless examples of new coaches taking over, say, hey, we're going to recruit five-star kids or top 50 kids, and they miss on three or four or five straight guys. And suddenly they have to settle for lesser-ranked kids or lower-ranked kids, and they flame out after a couple of years. Indiana's different. I mean, Indiana has the brand. It has the prestige. It's still, you know, whether you want to include it in the blue blood conversation, that's irrelevant. It's still one of the biggest programs in the sport. They should be involved for five-star recruits, whoever the coach is. And Mike Woodson said, hey, I want Indiana involved. And he wasn't afraid to do it. You know, I think Mackenzie Mbaka is a prime example. When he goes on the market in the spring, he said, all right, we're going to go after him. Indiana's going to be involved for him. Where, you know, he could have seen Kansas and some other schools get involved and say, all right, he's probably going to go to Kansas. Let's not waste our time. Let's go to the portal instead. And so I just think that the fearlessness that he has shown on the recruiting trail since taking over, and Indiana has a lot going for it, obviously. I mentioned the brand. I mentioned the history. It's got it's done really well in the NIL department. I think all those things are huge factors on the recruiting trail now. And it's I think the relentlessness which they have gone after Liam McNeely, Derek Queen. I mean, they seem like they're at Montford every other day. And I just four deep for these guys. And so I just think that's kind of paid off. I mean, I've heard from a couple of people that there are kids that they're going after in this class that it, you know, were listening to Indiana, but then you see them show up at your high school once a week or four deep for you once a week or once every other week. And that's going to kind of turn your head a little bit. And so I just think that's paid off for Indiana. And I just think it's a combination of things. And I think Mike Woodson's kind of at the at the head of that, and his decision to say, hey, we are going to recruit these guys, and you know, it's paid off. And I the other thing, and I mentioned this last time I was on your pod, we were talking about Mbako, is that I think what they did with Hood Shafino was huge. I mean, he wasn't a top five can't miss recruit or NBA prospect when he committed. He came there as a, you know, top 25, top 20, top 30 type of guy, and he turned out to be one and done and was one of the best freshmen in the country. Recruits see that. They say, all right, well, I only want to be in college for 6 months. Where can I go that I'm going to be there? I'm going to compete at the highest level of college basketball and also put myself in position to be drafted after 1 year. And Hood Shafino showed that.
That gives me a wonderful segue into, I got a chance to sit down with Woodson a couple weeks ago, and I got this quote, and there is some classic Woodson colorful language in here. So fair warning if you're listening in the car with your child or something like that.
Thanks for warning me.
I will not edit it for the podcast, but he said, when I first came in here as coach, my coaches that we kept over and the new guys I hired, they were like, Woody, you can't start at the top in terms of recruiting. And I said, bullshit, why not? All they can do is tell you no. I think it is fair to say that has characterized his approach. And, you know, you mentioned NIL there. I think it's pretty well documented, you know, and in my, listen, there's no hard and fast answer to this. I say this all the time. Every coach in America will swear to you up and down that there are five other coaches that have more NIL money than they do. It doesn't matter, you know, what sport or what level of the sport or where you are in your conference hierarchy. No coach ever has enough, basically. But I think it's pretty well documented. Indiana's got a robust, kind of a healthy NIL setup that's appealing to kids. But I wanted to ask you, too, about Woodson. And I think that the counter to that argument, maybe when he was hired, was, well, but here's a guy that can talk to kids in a very real way about the path to the pros, working with professionals. You know, there have been plenty of examples, even since he's taken the job, when he's gone back to see the Knicks and Julius Randle and RJ Barrett are giving or hugging him. And I think Carmelo Anthony has spoken, you know, at length about his respect for Woodson and his time working with Woodson. But I mean, how much, as simple as it sounds, how much do you think some of that is basically, you're always gonna have to fake it till you make it a little bit in coaching in any sport. But once you prove it, I mean, do you think there's almost a sense of kind of, now that Woodson has maybe, you know, put some of that proof out there, suddenly those arguments or those, you know, that sort of story he can tell of his NBA background and translating it down to college carries a lot more weight, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think he kind of nipped that the narrative of, you know, a guy that hasn't coached in college, he's not going to grind on the recruiting trail. He doesn't want to be in, you know, hot gyms in July, you know, which is, I mean, they're all air conditioned, so it's not even an argument anymore. But like, there's been a long history of former NBA guys who come to college and they just don't work. They don't work on the recruiting trail. You know, they want their off season. And in college basketball, there's really no off season until like maybe August now, and even that's about 2 weeks. And I think him right away kind of getting involved for these long term recruitments. I mean, that's kind of what, unless you're recruiting exclusively in the portal, these guys, you need to recruit them. High school guys, you got to recruit for 3 years, 2-3 years. And by getting involved with some of the guys he got early, some of the guys he's going after now, you get in on the ground floor of those recruitments and you have to maintain it and you have to be steady with it for years. And again, it's there's been a long list of NBA guys that have just come to college and they don't want to do that. You know, Chris Mullin had success at St. John's, or some level of success at St. John's, but you know, he wasn't out there every day in July or every day in April recruiting. And he's not the only one. I mean, there's a lot of guys that they prefer the, I'm going to be in the gym with the guys, I'm going to get them better. I like skill development. I like player development. Recruiting, my assistants can go get them. High school kids, they want to see the head coach and they want to meet with the head coach. They want to talk to the head coach. And that's the relationship you kind of need to have. With a lot of these elite level guys, when you're kind of, you know, breaking ties at the end of your decision, it's, if you don't have a relationship with the head coach, you're probably not going there. And so I just think Woodson has kind of shaped the narrative pretty quickly on, I'm going to work for recruits, and the guys that he's coached in the NBA, they love him. And you mentioned a few of them, but there's very few guys that you hear have bad things to say about Mike Woodson or, you know, skeletons in his closet or anything like that. He seems like, you know, a genuinely good coach, nice guy, a mentor type of guy for a lot of these people. And so I just think the narrative around him is just really positive right now.
One bigger picture thing, and then I'm sure people will want. And we're not going to ask you for the most insider of information, but your sort of perceptions of just where things stand with some of these guys. But that you mentioned too, the need for kind of long term relationships, and obviously a lot of people, including me, will cite Jalen Huccifino as you know kind of a key example of what Mike Woodson was able to do from kind of beginning to end in terms of, you know, prioritizing him, selling him on Indiana, and recruiting, working with him at Indiana when he was there, and then obviously moving him on into the NBA. But it occurs to me, you talk about timelines and relationship building. This is the first class that maybe Woodson really would have had to get in on the ground floor with in terms of recruiting these guys. What, summer of 2021 is when their sophomore is going to be juniors? Am I thinking about that right? Or is it freshman going to be sophomore? Anyway, you understand my point. This is kind of maybe the first test of his ability to go really to the kind of the ground level and work his way up. And as you know, as we talked about, kind of keep Indiana at what he likes to say at that table, even as other schools fall away, even as sort of recruitments, you know, pare themselves down. Just, I mean, in your mind, what does it say that it's maybe not just, you know, people like to talk about how quickly Indiana got involved with Tamar Bates, with Malik Renew, with McKenzie Mbako, and how good Indiana's been at times in the portal in terms of building quick relationships. But what does it say in your mind about, you know, this is kind of that first class where Mike Woodson and his staff have to start at the very bottom and build their way up. And obviously, again, they've got to close, but this is kind of the end game, is them being in sort of maybe, let's say, the final group for some pretty elite guys.
I think part of it is, I mean, if you see a Duke or Kentucky or Kansas, they can sometimes, Carolina, they can sometimes throw in an offer with a month left in the recruiting process and still get in the mix. That's just what, you know, the recent success they've all had kind of enables them to do that a little bit. Mike Woodson has not really tried to do that with Indiana, and that's for good reason. You know, I just don't know if Indiana right now is at that point where they can jump into recruitment with 3 weeks left and turn the tide. And so I think that the fact that they've run the race for, you know, most of their targets for a long time and maintained it and stayed in the mix and say, you know, even when other big schools come in the mix and you know, try to take command, they're still staying there. They're still fighting. They're still going to the high school. They're going to every AU game. They're still making calls. I think it shows a lot. And I said at the beginning, it's just they're relentless in terms of their pursuit. You know, like a Liam McNeely. You know, I think that, you know, Texas was involved early when Beard was there, and you know, Indiana was kind of there, and they just kind of stuck with it. They keep showing up at Montford. They keep recruiting them. Eventually you're going to say, okay, they obviously really want me. They've made a concerted effort to continue recruiting me, even when other schools with a bigger recent, more recent success or are the perceived leaders or whatever are staying in the mix. They keep showing up four deep for me. And eventually, like I said, it's not going to work for every kid, but a lot of kids are going to say they really want me to be there. They want to build their whatever around me. They want to build their offense around me. They want to build their team around me. They want to build their recruiting class around me. And I think that has an impact on a lot of kids.
Let's talk about, I guess it seems like it is pretty much pared down to three now. I think that have Indiana's kind of main focus, Derek Queen and Liam McNeely at Montverde. Queen originally from Baltimore, McNeely originally from Texas. And then also Boogie Fland up in New York, up in your neck of the woods. You know, it feels kind of like it's a bit of a different challenge with each of those guys. McNeely, I think, it sort of feels like IU in Kansas here at the end. Everyone seems to think that's going to conclude itself one way or another soon. Boogie Fland, maybe IU in Kentucky, Alabama kind of floating around in there as well. Derek Queen, there's always kind of the pull of home and of Maryland. I think a lot of people for a long time just kind of assumed he'd go to Maryland, but he hasn't committed yet. There's also some relationships there with Houston. But I guess what occurs to me, and again, I'm not asking for like your most insider information. I recognize you've got a duty to the worldwide leader as well. But, you know, in Indiana, being involved with this many kids, none of whom, frankly, have immediate ties to IU. I mean, you've been around basketball recruiting as long or longer than I have. You know, we've seen Indiana in some high-level recruitments before, but to be this deeply involved with this many kids that really, like, have no sort of cultural predisposition to look at Indiana. They're not from Indiana or even really the Midwest only one of them grew up in, let's call it Big Ten, I guess two of them, if you want to call, you know, White Plains, New York, Big Ten country. But
you know, I wouldn't do that, but that's
fine. There's no, I mean, there's no sort of like legacy Big Ten. They're not from the
Midwest.
They're, none of them grew up in Indianapolis or anything like that. Can you remember a time when Indiana was kind of this competitive for guys that are all in that, you know, let's say 15 to 25 range, none of whom really have some, again, sort of, you know, natural predisposition to IU, no matter who the coach is?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, they had a good amount of success kind of in that when they got, you know, they got James Blackman, obviously an in-state kid, and they got Thomas Bryant, not an in-state kid, but he had, you know, strong relationships and, you know, they've gotten guys in this, we're going back at what, 9 years now, to 8, 9 years now to those guys. I think that, I mean, Trace Jackson Davis was a Midwest kid. So going outside their region, I mean, that is what top 10 historical programs should do. I mean, they shouldn't just, I mean, getting Romeo Langford was huge. That was awesome. He was an in-state kid. And, you know, if you are the flagship program of a state and you're one of the 5 to 10 biggest programs in history, you should be keeping Romeo Langford home. You should be keeping Trace Jackson Davis home. To go outside that area, to go outside the region and compete with Kansas for Liam McNeely and Kentucky for Boogie Flan, they're in some fights with some powerhouse schools that, you know, only 5 to 10 programs in the country can say, hey, we're going to go after the best kids from every region, no matter what. We're going to compete with everybody. And Indiana's doing that right now. And I think that even if they don't get all three of those guys, and I think there is a chance they get all three, but, you know, I just think it shows kind of the determination that Indiana has to be one of the power players on the recruiting trail.
I guess just, I mean, as much as you're willing to share, just basically, where do you see Indiana standing in maybe at least in the bigger picture in terms of, you know, do you think that there's a chance they strike out on all three? Do you think, I mean, you mentioned you think they could get all three. It certainly feels like that's on the table, which again is not something that I can remember, you know, even in terms of at times, maybe Indiana going deep in some recruitments, being a finalist, but it always kind of being widely recognized. Like Miles Bridges, I remember Indiana was in that group, mm-hmm. but it was widely sort of recognized. Indiana probably wasn't a leading contender. I mean, do you at least kind of get the sense that Indiana is a serious option for each one of these three kids beyond just sort of, oh, they're my finalists, but like it's, you know, basically whenever you sit down to the proverbial table to discuss with your coach, with your parents, with your, you know, whoever is in your inner circle, Indiana is going to be one of the key players, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a better chance they get all three than they strike out on all three. Now, I don't think it's likely to get all three. I just think that to me, there's very little chance they don't get any of them. And, you know, for Liam McNeely, I think they're one of two, obviously. And I think Indiana's is in good shape right now. I know Kansas went to see them or meet with him on, what they say, Thursday. So on Wednesday, I don't know if that really changed much of his recruitment. That one's been an interesting one over the last few weeks, because it seems like we've heard a few times now that he's kind of getting ready to commit to Indiana, decision imminent, announcement imminent, and then it just kind of quiets down. But I do still think that Indiana's in a good spot. So they're one of two there. For Boogie Flan, I think they're probably one of two. You know, I had it on pretty reliable information going into the Alabama visit that it was Indiana and Kentucky. And I think Alabama made up some ground, but I still think they're a distant third. So I think it's, again, they're one of two there. I think both Indiana and Kentucky have kind of made it clear to Boogie how much he's wanted each of those programs. So I think that's kind of a strong dogfight. You might ask one person, they'll say Indiana, one person will say Kentucky. And then for Derek Queen, I think they're probably one of three right now. You know, you mentioned the hometown poll to Maryland. I think Houston's in there. Obviously they're going to host him for a visit this week. Jairus Walker, they have a connection to his AAU program through Jairus Walker, and they have a strong relationship there. And then there's Indiana and Indiana, you know, Queen has a really good relationship with Liam McNeely. I think Woodson's got a good relationship with the family. Obviously, they're recruiting Montford really well. And so I think that, I mean, the interesting thing I heard about Queen was that he really liked his Kansas visit. And I think they'd be a factor had Flory not committed there and had, you know, I mean, Hunter Dickinson could stay another year there after this. And so it gets a little crowded in the front court. So I think he really liked Kansas. I just don't see them as a top three option for him right now. So you know, again, they're probably one of three there, along with Houston and Maryland. So, you know, they have a legitimate chance to get all three players. And again, I don't see, I think there's a very slim chance they don't get any of them. I think they're going to end up with at least one five-star kid in this class.
I guess we'll close here. Recruiting is always kind of a, I mean, there's an extent to which recruiting will always be a bit of a, what have you done late for me lately for me business, insofar as, you know, you're always only as good as kind of your next, your ability to prove to the next group of, you know, highly ranked prospects that you have the right sort of resources, the right experience, the right environment to develop them into what they want to be as basketball players, whether that's, you know, one and done or NBA down the line or whatever it may be. We've talked about, you know, in the past on these podcasts, you know, what it meant to develop Trayce Jackson-Davis the way Mike Woodson did. We've obviously talked here and elsewhere about what it meant to develop Jalen Hood-Schifino, or, you know, probably even some, you know, players that have kind of grown up around some of the, let's say, the leading stars over the last couple seasons in Bloomington. What would it mean in your mind if Indiana, let's say, were able to land, you know, even, you know, two of these three players we're talking about? Obviously, beyond bringing talented players to Bloomington and probably setting up a pretty highly anticipated 2024-2025 season, just what do you think it would do for that reputation that's already kind of been burnished, that's already been growing, if you get another round of these really talented players sort of buying into the idea that Indiana is a place where they can go and achieve their goals?
I think it'd be huge, because this would be three straight classes where they're recruiting with the best of the best. And it would probably be, I mean, right now I'd say Mbako. I mean, I think he's a future first round pick. I mean, maybe I'm wrong with that, but if you could say, hey, we're going to get a five star in three straight classes, if we're going to have a first round pick in two straight drafts, more likely three, if they get all three of these guys, then, you know, there's a chance one of them turns out to be a first round pick. It just shows that they should continue to go into these recruiting battles. They should still go after the top 10 or 15 kids in the country. They should, you know, it's not just Duke and Kentucky and Kansas and Carolina, and then, you know, an occasional wild card. Like, Indiana should be involved for these kids. And so I just think that it would further establish, hey, you can come here. And again, it's just kind of the way of college basketball now. Freshmen don't make maybe as big of an impact as they used to. And so if you're a five-star kid, you don't want to make a mistake. You want to I see you texting, by the way. You want to go to a school for 6 months. You want to compete at the highest level. You want to go to the NCAA tournament. You want to go deep in the NCAA tournament. And then you want to be a lottery pick or a first-round pick. That's kind of what you want if you're a five-star and have a pretty good NIL package while you're there. And Indiana can offer – well, we're seeing Indiana at the early stages of offering all of those things. And I think another year of this, if Indiana has a good season, if Mbako has a good freshman year and goes pro, and then they get a couple of these five-star kids, it's just the momentum continues to grow and the reputation continues to grow. And suddenly Mike Woodson and his staff can walk into any gym or any living room in the country and kind of show, hey, here's what we did for A, B, and C. How about you come and you could be the next one? And so, again, it's just a momentum thing, and it's continuing to grow on the recruiting trail for Indiana. Now we just have to see it translate to the court on a consistent basis for them.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much, Jeff Borzello, for joining us. ESPN National Recruiting Insider, Jeff Borzello, for joining us. Thank you all for listening. This has been Mind Your Banners. I told you we'd get you something on the bye week, and obviously there's still a lot to talk about as the page turns steadily toward basketball season. Thank you all for listening. This has been Mind Your Banners for October 5th, 2023, for the Indianapolis Star, for the Bloomington Herald Times. I'm Zach Osterman. We will talk to you soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.